After more than 20 years outside every Blues home game, St. Louis Game Time is bringing the coverage to you. It's almost always never easy, but this is Game Time AM with Brad Lee and Jeff Jones on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. You are listening to Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2, streaming live on InsideSTL.com. My name is Jeff Jones. Matt Davis is there across the board. Brad Lee is out this morning, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Matthew. I know you were here up and excited and getting things raring to go for the day. Thrilled about it. So it's definitely, we're up and firing this morning. You may not know this, but this is a red letter day in sports for me. We'll get to that in a little bit. Big Blues news yesterday, a big press release yesterday. You're furrowing your brow. We'll get to that here just very shortly. If you want to hop in on the conversation this morning, it is 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. And we'll start with that Blues news, Matt, because you look confused.
Yeah, I missed it.
You did. Alex Pietrangelo, will be cutting the ribbon at the Magic House for an exhibit on ice.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't know that qualified as the big news.
You know, I was amused yesterday. I was reading sort of things as they came in. Came in the middle of the Twitter day. For example, the general manager of the Capitals had his postseason press conference yesterday, and in it included, didn't say we're looking to trade Ovechkin. In fact, went nowhere near that, but was asked about that and said basically, well, maybe if the right hockey move came along, which can't happen. I mean,
Make a hockey trade.
And there's no real right hockey trade that involves Alex Ovechkin in that contract.
Armstrong loves hockey trades,
that's
though.
True. He's a big fan. But
there's a way. He can figure it out.
I saw that come in, followed immediately by the email telling me about the Magic House.
I am actually a little bit excited about the Magic House.
You know what?
I frequent that establishment with my children. And,
right.
My son will probably flip out and have hateful thoughts towards me if I don't get him to that thing.
I've not been to the Magic House in many years. Well, I've been, but not in years and years and years. I mean, granted.
Okay.
I don't have kids. That probably is I don't know. You think my nephew will be 3 in August. A little young, you think, probably for the Magic House still?
I would say probably but you never know. There's all kinds of different things there.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can go outside and play in the little rock pit with the little tractor thing you sit on and use the handle scoopers.
And see, I did not have any idea that there even was an outdoor rock pit.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, it's like a whole outdoor little construction area. You can go in and pretend you're building stuff, pretend you're plumbing and digging rocks. It's cool, but yeah, 3 years old, it's a little young.
That's kind of what I thought. So in actual St. Louis sport news, your St. Louis Cardinals yesterday fought so hard and fought so fine to lose 9-4 to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
9-4?
Yes, indeed. Cardinals get off to a 3-0 lead, 3 runs in the first, and the Dodgers fire back with 4 runs in the third. Fifth inning, you have a little bit of trouble there. You have Tyler Lyons putting a couple guys on in the second inning of work, and Brebbia can't quite clean it up, though John Brebbia does go an inning in 2/3 with no runs charged to him. Positives from that game, Brett Cecil, clean inning. No runs, no hits, no walks, had a strikeout.
It's about time.
Kevin Segrist as well struck out the side in his inning and had a walk. Then we come to Jonathan Broxton.
Oh, yeah.
Not great. Inning pitch, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, had a walk, had 2 strikeouts.
Is he getting demoted to single A?
You know, you get the feeling watching Broxton last night that at some point the white flag is going to fly.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe not, though.
I guess not. You know,
I thought it was coming last season.
And the thing with it, you signed him 2 off seasons ago, basically, to you signed him to an extension, a 2-year extension, which – even at the time, you're looking at it and you're going, I don't really know about this, right?
Maybe.
I mean, right. Like, he was fine when they acquired him. So they acquired him at the trade deadline in 2015. Both he and Steve Cishek were acquired at the trade deadline that year to sort of bolster the bullpen. Cishek did not make the playoff roster. And then in the offseason signs a big deal with the Mariners to be their closer. So somewhere in there's a disconnect.
Do I remember Cishek being the better of the two pitchers?
You know,
I remember C-Sheck being the better of the two pitchers. Okay. Clearly, that opinion did not resonate throughout the Cardinal clubhouse, but when you look at what they've done since, you know, Broxton with ERA close to 7 this year, C-Sheck has only pitched 2 2/3 innings. Excuse me. So I assume he's been hurt actually this year for the Mariners. But last year, appeared in 62 games and put up a 2.81 ERA for the Seattle Mariners.
Nice.
And in the 27 games that he pitched for the Cardinals in 2015, had a 2.31 ERA. So it's not like Steve C-Sheck was a problem.
So he had to have been hurt to not make the playoff roster, right?
No, he was healthy. Unless there was an undisclosed injury that factored in, C-Sheck was healthy in that 2015 postseason. Hmm. He was victim to that roster crunch. If I remember correctly, I'm trying to think who it would have been in the, I believe Derek Gould has called it the Shelby Miller Memorial roster spot, where you sit on the, you know, you get the scholarship, you're on the, you're on the playoff roster, and there's no chance you're actually going to play. Right. One of the starters was in that role, in the 2015 playoffs.
But that was a long time ago. I don't really remember.
It's the last time the Cardinals were in the playoffs, and yet we have little memory of it. That would have been the Kyle Schwarber home run over the scoreboard. That would have been the 2015 playoffs.
I think I blacked that out.
That's probably smart. I missed a good deal of that playoff series. It happened over a weekend where I was actually at the University of Kentucky, so I was otherwise indisposed and had missed most of that playoff season. But
it's a bummer.
But yeah, so you know, the Cardinals last night also reach peak Cardinal roster construction, playing with the one man bench. You have the unfortunate circumstances where, you know, you have Stephen Piscotty dealing with whatever personal issues he's been dealing with. He's out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Flew back last night, but did not make it back in time for the game. Jed Jerko's wife went into labor yesterday,
right.
So Jed was away from the team. When you have 13 pitchers and you only have 4 on the bench, and one of them is the backup catcher, one of them's in California, one of them's at the hospital,
yeah.
Greg Garcia stands alone.
I bet he's excited.
And he got 2 at bats yesterday. He actually, believe it or not, with a one man bench, Michael Scott Matheny managed to double switch yesterday. It is unbelievable. Like,
Michael Scott Matheny.
I believe that is actually his middle name. So there was
that is awesome.
There was a series of videos that were posted by the Double Birds Twitter account. Generally not a fan. Like, that's one of those Twitter accounts where I don't know that you like the Cardinals that much. I think that they like not liking the Cardinals. And we had Chase on the air here very early in the history of Game Time AM, and he was perfectly pleasant to us. But the grudges run pretty deep there. But they were responsible for the I believe they called it the Clubhouse was the series, basically, where he took a supercut of some lines from The Office and took Mike Matheny's head and kind of put it on Michael Scott's body, and the words were kind of coming. It's pretty funny. But yes, indeed, Michael Scott Matheny is his given name, and pulled off the double switch yesterday with the one man bench, which is pretty remarkable when you consider that. Now, granted,
kind of risky.
He did end up using Eric Fryer as a pinch hitter later in the game, so he didn't maximize the bench. You know, I say one man bench. Technically, there were 2. Fryer was eligible, but they don't use the backup catcher unless they absolutely have to.
Has Fryer even played at all this season?
He catches Lynn once in a while, or catches Leak once in a while. For years, I have been familiar with the backup catcher statistic.
Okay,
which you can't really calculate it. You look at a guy and you go, that's a backup catcher. His BCS is about 2.
Right.
And so Eric Fryer is really, really in the meat of that BCS range, you know, in the long and distinguished string of St. Louis Cardinals backup catchers. Eric Fryer definitely fits the mold.
Well, he's better than Brian Peña was.
Well, in that he is able to stand up and then squat down and then stand
he's
back
actually
up again.
There.
That's true.
Play.
Yeah, the Brian Peña. Oof. You know, you say Brian Peña, and then we talk about Broxton, and then you go back, and granted it's a couple years and then they cut bait in a hurry, but you go back to Ty Wigginton and you start to wonder about some of these veteran guys that Mozeliak has taken bites on that they're nothing really works out with those guys.
At least they're relatively low cost swings and misses, I guess.
They are, but you know, with Wigginton, you end up swallowing, what, $5 million? With Pena, you end up swallowing, I think, $3 million.
Right around there.
You know, Broxton, I think, was a two-year, $5 million deal. It's these middling contracts to these veterans. And granted, you know, they don't hamstring the team necessarily.
Right.
But it is this sort of drips and drabs of stuff where it's like,
could have had somebody better for cheaper, perhaps.
Yeah, or you could have given an opportunity to a guy like Tuivalu, for example. You could have given him a real opportunity to be in that spot in the bullpen. You could have committed to Tyler Lyons a couple of years ago in that Broxton spot, as opposed to sort of bouncing him back and forth between AAA and the majors. There are
old
other
Steve
ways.
Steve Cishek could have been here.
Steve Cishek, he's hurt this year, but last year was, by any measure, a more effective pitcher than Jonathan Broxton. He had 25 saves for the Mariners last year. So it's not like, you know, he was a guy who didn't have any use. And in fact, indeed, the Mariners signed him to a two-year, $10 million deal after he did not make the playoff roster for the Cardinals in 2015. So it is
kind of fishy.
It is a little frustrating to see some of the decisions that get made there. Michael Wacha gets the start last night for the Cardinals. Only goes three innings, shortest start in the season for any Cardinals pitcher. I think it might be time for the red flags to go up on Wacha a little bit.
Oh my gosh, we're past that point, I think.
Well, so he starts the season off like gangbusters. He has a 2.55 ERA in the month of April. May starts pretty strong.
Yeah.
And then you get to that point where he skips the start against the Cubs. So there, he doesn't start a game between May 7th and May 19th.
That's the first sign of trouble.
First sign of trouble. He comes, you know, the team denies that it has anything to do with health. Wacha says he's perfectly fine, says that the decision to skip the start was not about him. The team wanted to get him extra rest.
So it was just a preventative kind of thing.
The team says, hey, we're gonna give him some extra time throughout the season.
Okay, but that means the concern is there that he can't make it the full season as a starter, which it should be there. The concern should be there.
And then he follows it up with that start in San Francisco, where he goes six innings, which basically that had been his standard. Doesn't give up any runs, only four hits, but walks three. That ties for his season high with last night for three unintentional walks plus one intentional walk, so four walks in that game against the Giants. Gets through six. You know, doesn't get the win, but you're feeling okay about it. Then over the last week here, these last two starts against the Dodgers on the 25th, the four innings pitched, seven hits, six earned, two walks last night, three innings, five hits, four runs, three earned, and three walks. You start to wonder, you know, and again, he throws 100 pitches in four innings to get in the game against the Dodgers on the 25th, 77 through three innings last night.
Oh, wow.
You know, the issue with Michael Wacha is that he relies so much on that changeup to create deception, and so much on, you know, again, you hear about the downward plane, but it is that driving changeup that comes out of his hand. And if it's creating discomfort and it creates problems in that shoulder, then he's not going to be an effective pitcher. And you get so excited to watch him start the season as strong as he did, and everyone remembers, obviously, the amazing playoff run that he has, but we're 4 years out from that now, and we're looking
at
it. It was 2013 was the fall where Michael Wacha could not be touched, and we're looking at a guy now who
trending the other direction here the last couple years.
For sure, trending the other direction. A guy who, if you're an opposing general manager, would you have anything to trade for Michael Wacha? I mean, I can't imagine that that's a guy who even has a lot of value around the league.
Well, I can't imagagine that he's looked at as a starter, okay?
I wouldn't think so.
Which would lower his value. If he's going to be just looked at as a reliever arm to come in, then yeah, his value is not going to be very high whatsoever. Yeah. Although I do think his value, I mean, as a reliever, I think he would be better than he is as a starter.
Ultimately. You know, I don't know anything about the medical reality of that. You hear sometimes that as a reliever, it's more stressful because the arm has to start and stop, and you're going multiple days a week. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. You trust the experts, I guess. You believe what they have. Believe what they have to say, but I don't know. It's hard to imagine that would be the case.
Well, they gotta do something about it at some point or another. I wouldn't say it's a necessary emergency yet, but you're gonna have to consider who you can put in that spot and get more innings and more quality innings.
Well, and then the other concern here is that you have to do something with 10 spots on the roster. Uh-huh. Right. And so so maybe Waka falls down the list of priorities. But I mean, yeah, there are problems all over the place. The other moving story from before the game last night. So because Stephen Piscotty was on a plane and was not going to be able to get here in time, apparently the Cardinals considered a recall. So the Springfield Cardinals were at home last night, which means Magnera Sierra is about a 3.5 hour drive away, or about an hour flight away. I don't know. I would be curious to know what the faster way is to get from St. Louis to Springfield.
Between flying or driving?
Well, obviously a flight is shorter, but I'm talking about, do the Cardinals have a private plane in Springfield? Mm. If not, and Sierra has to fly commercial, like, is their timing right? It might actually be faster to drive.
Just jump in the car.
Right, but so...
You could probably make that trip in 2 hours if you drove fast enough.
Can you in 2 hours? I feel like... Maybe. At least three.
It just depends on how fast you drive.
That's true if you really booked it up 44, yeah. But Brian Stull last night on Twitter had a report that the Cardinals got, in fact, close enough to recalling Sierra that he was, in fact, in the car. Driving up 44. And then they said, never mind. And so we turned around, went back to Springfield.
Gotcha.
And had the game-winning RBI for the Springfield Cardinals last night. So
oh, wow.
I guess they were glad to have him back. But, yeah, apparently that was his evening. Sitting at Springfield, you get the call, hey, get ready to go and start heading on up here. We're going to make the move. And then
I'd probably be annoyed at that a little bit.
I would think, because
I'm already in the car, guys.
The logistics of that fascinate me, and I hope very much that when he gets recalled at some point this season that story gets written, right? Like, does he drive himself? Is there, like, an instructional coach that drives up with him? Like, what does
that
look
like?
Cool
what
job, is the
though.
Road trip with Mag Sierra? It would be a pretty cool job.
I'd be the guy to drive him. And forth between AA, AAA, whatever.
Of all of the little support jobs in sports, I do think that like bagman / gopher would have to be among the most interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, the guy who just gets the stuff done. I know for the Blues, for example, that person has another job as well, so it sort of doubles up on them.
Right.
So, you know, they can't really hire, I guess, you know, you can't have a business card that says bagman. But it would be it would be fun. To be that conversation. Hey Matt, I don't know. We've got a couple of folks in the text inbox suggesting we may not be on the air. If we are not on the air, then you will certainly be able to hear this on the podcast later. Also, if we are not on the air, then I am not entirely sure we can do much about it because usually that is a transmitter issue. So we will attempt to fire up the technical challenges here. So Matt's going to be on it. He's a pro.
All my buttons say we're good.
You know what? I feel like if the buttons say that we're good, then we can only do so much. If there's an issue, you're listening over the air, then perhaps stream it. In fact, you probably are listening right now on 590 The Fan KFNS 105.7 HD2 or streaming live on InsideSTL.com. This is Game Time AM. I'm Jeff. That's Matt. No Brad today. Covering the Cardinals so far this morning as we work into a big sports day. Matt, are you a House of Cards watching person?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen
it?
No,
I haven't.
Well, so the most recent season of House of Cards was released yesterday. I got, I think, 6 episodes in yesterday morning.
Oh,
so
nice.
I won't disclose. Obviously, people are still watching through, so I'll save the spoilers for myself. In fact, I know our good friend Drunk Girl yesterday was tweeting about it excitedly, and I immediately texted her and said, "How far are you?" And she said, "I just started." And I said, "Then I'll shut up," because you know people get very sensitive about the spoilers there. But I will say,
spoilers are horrible.
You know, I'm a spoilers guy. I like going in with the spoilers in mind. Like, I'm the guy who will be in the theater. I mean, granted, only with an empty theater, not bothering anybody, with the Wikipedia for the movie, like, pulled up.
Oh, wow.
And following along with it, like, as the movie is.
Sounds like a fun movie-going experience.
I know, it's lame, but I like I like being able to experience it. Like, I like being connected to it, and, you know, I don't know. I like the anticipatory stuff. I have been a devourer of spoilers for as long as I've been able to get access to them. So, and in fact, yesterday morning when I sat down to watch, I was a little bit frustrated that apparently, no one had managed to power through House of Cards overnight, and so it took a couple of hours for the season long spoiler alerts pop up. So
you spoil it for yourself. You go,
oh yeah, I will. Oh, okay. I will for sure spoil things.
I used to do that all the time. Actually, and my wife hated me for it. But yeah, I would first I'd start off, I'd read, you know, whatever came, whatever little box of information came with each episode,
right,
or whatever. And I'd go through the whole season and read every single one of them. And then it got to the point where that wasn't enough. I needed
right,
a little
because
bit
those
more.
Are always very vague. Right?
Yeah, they're vague. And it's like, whoa, what the heck? How is that happening? I gotta look into that. So yeah, my wife hated it, and then I just kind of stopped doing that.
That's, you know what? That's a perfectly good reason to stop doing almost anything. I think that, you know, what's the terrible saying? Happy life, happy wife, right?
I've heard that. Yeah, I just heard that yesterday, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure that I like that phrase.
I'm not entirely sure that I do either. So speaking of the speaking of modern culture and spoilers and whatnot, we talked about this briefly before we came on the air. A meme was born overnight. Covfefe has now entered the world, and for the first time that I can detect, the president is enjoying making fun of himself.
Okay.
There's self-deprecation. So last night, apparently,
progress.
The tweet starts with here it is. Despite the constant negative press, and I believe it is supposed to be coverage, but instead it comes out Covfefe.
So despite the negative press, Covfefe.
Yes, Covfefe. And then the tweet stops, as he is wont to do occasionally.
That's all of the tweet?
He will tweet something. Sometimes it comes out in chunks, but then there usually are following pieces.
Right.
This one ended with a typo, and then the tweet storm stopped. And it was at midnight. It was like 12:06 in the morning. So, you know, maybe get to bed a little earlier if you're born. Hey, whatever. So that's fine. But so that happens, and then the tweet stays up for 4-5 hours. Like, just stays up. And usually...
Totally normal.
You see those problems, and they get deleted quickly, right? Oops, this was an embarrassment. He is renowned for making typos and then quickly deleting them and pretending like they didn't happen.
Have you researched Covfefe? Maybe it's code for something.
I have not, but you might be able to research it because there might be a true meaning. Because 13 minutes ago at 5:09, the president tweets again, "Who can figure out the true meaning of Covfefe? ? Enjoy."
Really?
Now, granted, he's obviously kidding and poking at himself here. I think the joke is he's acknowledging, but is it news that he's acknowledging that he made a goof?
Because I think it is.
That is like that's
that
not
shows
really,
progress, doesn't that, it?
That is,
things are at least moving in small steps.
That
in
has
a
to be
direction.
The most cheerful thing that
he's
has come out of the White House.
Defending it,
right? Exactly,
which is a huge plus.
Fake news is telling you that Covfefe is a lie, right? Like it's none of that stuff.
So yeah. he tweeted that out at about 12:06. You said,
the middle of the night,
and slept then, for 4 hours.
Yeah, well,
got up and said, you know what? I don't like that.
Like six, maybe. I would say six. It's 6:30 in D.C., so it was midnight in D.C. when he tweeted. So he got about, and look, 6 hours of sleep for the president's no joke. That's
seems like
lot.
It would be a lot.
That would be. I think that would be a lot in that job.
How do these guys? I mean, he's up there in age.
I
right?
don't know,
aren't
man.
They like in bed, 7 o'clock, you 8 o'clock in the evening.
I've actually, you know, in mornings
tuckered
here,
out.
In mornings here between the shows, you hear Doug and the cat talk, and you know, all joking aside, they're older guys and they're in their 50s. I think you know they both acknowledge that on the air, and they talk about how they regularly get 4 and 5 hours of sleep. Man, I'm just not built that way.
I can't
live like that. I can't do it. And I'm not a late sleeping person. Like if I go to bed at whatever time, it doesn't matter what I've been doing, how late I've been out, whatever I've been doing, there's no way I'm sleeping past 9 ever. I've never in my life slept past 9 a.m. I just don't have it in me to do that. And so
the alternative is you just go to sleep really early.
Right. There's no way around it. And as we get deeper into summer here, it is getting harder and harder to ignore how much daylight is outside when I've been laying down in bed recently, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Because, yeah,
the sun was still up when I put my kids in bed last night.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel bad putting them in bed. It looks like they could go outside and play for another 2 hours.
I usually lay down at like 8:30. Now, granted, I'm awake for another hour and a half or whatever, just laying in bed, screwing around on my phone or on the iPad or whatever. But yeah, like at 8:30 when you're laying in bed and you look up and there's sun streaming in the windows, it's like, oh, I don't know how I feel about myself right now. This is getting kind of rough. Yeah. I
enjoy it though. I prefer it.
I used to tell myself, you know, maybe say 5 years ago, that just make it to 10. 10 p.m. is respectable as a bedtime for an adult, right? So if you make it to 10, you've at least been up for the night. You're not going to miss anything. You're going to be involved in the world. And now, unless there's something like a sporting event or something else on TV that I need to watch, there's no way I'm making it at 10 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, 10 o'clock is pretty much my max now.
There's no way.
And it sucks because on weekends, I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to go hang out with friends, go do something. And it just doesn't happen.
And see, for me, something on the weekends is like, is brunch, and brunch happens at 9 in the morning, so I can get up and go to brunch, and then I go and I have the day to, I don't know, shop or go to a movie or whatever, and then I can be comfortably back in bed by 9 o'clock.
What's your favorite brunch item?
Oof. It depends. It varies from place to place. So there is a spot in Belleville, actually, that I will still drive to now, even living in downtown, to get breakfast. And there I will get country fried steak.
Oh, yeah.
Nice big country fried steak. Get some gravy. Get some hash browns up on there. The real nice big greasy toast.
One of my favorites.
I'm a big breakfast burrito guy.
We discussed this yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I like a good breakfast burrito. Lately at home, I've been making a lot of eggs in a hole. That's pretty good.
Is that with the toast and you cut?
Yeah,
the
you take
out
the toast and you're right.
But I never understood that. I've had it once. I think a friend's mom cooked it for me years ago.
So it's pretty easy. Like I don't even bother. I just take a drinking glass and you push the piece of toast over the drinking glass basically.
Right.
And so you have the nice perfectly little
circle
in there.
Oh, you push it over.
Or well, I mean, actually, I guess I put
That's
the
an interesting way to
I,
do
I,
it.
I put the bread down on the cutting board
right.
and then screw
and then
the
then
glass
cookie cutter.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. Yes. That's what
that
I
makes
though
sense.
I will say. Every time I do that, I do feel like I'm afraid that I'm going to break a glass, right? Like, you know, just, like I'm going to just push it a little too hard and just shatter my hand through a drinking glass. So it is a little nerve-wracking.
Then you got to figure out, well, that was my last piece of bread. Do I just shake it out and hope it's okay?
Right, yeah. Do I eat the bloody glassy piece of bread or do I, you know?
Okay, yeah, don't eat the bloody glassy piece of
bread. Well, and actually, as you say that, it's funny. I do, right now in my pantry, I can tell you that the loaf of bread that I have has one slice and the heels. And I found myself yesterday after I made toast in a situation where I'm like, do I throw away the one piece of bread? And I didn't because I figured I'll eat. I don't know. So I saved one piece of bread and two heels. So
you should have figured out a way to put it on your sandwich.
I guess, but at that, I mean.
Put it in the middle. It'd be like your Big Mac.
Yeah, but then, I mean, I just made like a two-egg sandwich yesterday morning. So you have like one egg and then a
bread,
piece of bread.
Egg, cheese, meat. Bread,
I guess,
egg, cheese, meat.
I guess that would have worked. I don't know. I actually
got a lot more work.
I've got
the
that going
piece
on.
Of bread.
Yeah, I've got a pork shoulder cooking at my house right now. I'm pretty excited.
Right now it's cooking.
It is. I have the
unsupervised.
I have a sous vide machine. So you cook things in a temperature controlled water bath. So I've got the vacuum sealer. So you take the pork shoulder, you season it up, you rub it up good, you put it back in the vacuum bag and vacuum seal it, and then you dunk it back in the tank.
Okay.
I've had the
No chance of fire when there's water involved.
No chance of fire. No. It's going at 145 degrees in a nice slow water
slow
bath.
Cook.
So it'll, it should be.
That sounds pretty good. And actually, yesterday I made a pot roast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in a crock pot. And it turned out amazing.
The crock pot's the way to go.
Crock pot. Yep. It was delicious. But anyway.
Yeah, the Italian beef in the crock pot, also a good movie.
Beef, what does that mean?
So, you never had an Italian beef sandwich?
I don't think so.
Okay, so, I mean, you'll see them a lot in Chicago, basically. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's kind of like a roast beef sandwich, but it's sort of tangy. You get some peppers on there, a little spice, a little acid going on. So you take the chuck roast.
Yeah.
You dump maybe a jar of some pepperoncini peppers in there with a little bit of the juice, a little bit of Italian seasoning, and you throw it all in the pot roast and you let it go slow and it kind of melts down into a nice Italian-y, peppery, beefy kind of lump. And you shred it up, you take the juice, you put it on rolls, and you eat it as a good
Sounds
for a sandwich.
Good.
Text coming in from Ironhead about the same thing that we saw about before. So apparently there is a somewhat of an issue going on with 590 right now. We will do our best to...
So is it saying?
It says, I believe it says not on 590 AM, but you're streaming. Don't know enough about HD2 because not blessed enough to have it. So I do think... We are definitely streaming right now. I don't know what's going on with the 590 signal, but the 105.7, the 105.7 HD2 signal should hopefully be working. Because if I understand,
it was working
that,
on my way in,
and if I understand that correctly, that also broadcasts through the internet, right? I think we transmit that via the internet to 105.7, and then it goes out via their HD2. So that should
wish
be
I could
fine.
Tell you, but I just push buttons.
You know what? I could have been sitting in here talking to no one for the last half an hour and. would have been none the wiser. So what the hell do I care?
Missed out on some big time conversation.
You did. If you haven't, if you've missed the first half hour of Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, maybe, but 1057HG2 probably and definitely inside STL.com, you've missed conversation about last night's Cardinal game and things to make in a slow cooker.
So. Slow cooker. You can probably make anything in a slow cooker.
You can.
I just had the thought just now. What if you did nachos in a slow cooker?
That would be good. Yeah, but the chips would get pretty soggy, right? I feel like if you have the chips too much in there. Yeah, I don't know. Now, granted, you could put the toppings
Leave the lid off so that the steam and stuff escapes and doesn't settle in.
I guess that's a possibility. I don't know. Have you ever had to clean nacho cheese out of a slow cooker?
No.
Not fun. I for a number of summers, worked in the concession stand at the pool that I was a member of growing up. And then, you know, so I get into high school and got the summer job there, working in the concession stand, and then moved on up to assistant manager of the pool after a number of years. It was a pretty big deal, pretty big promotion. But we basically maintained two crock pots all day long. One had taco meat, and the other had nacho cheese. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, when you go to clean the crock pots, the nacho cheese crock pot, not fun.
I believe it.
The nacho cheese kind of sits in there all day. Like even when you stir it and you're good
cheese
about it.
Cheese is just a pain if you don't get to it right away.
It really is. Like if it cooks in around the edges and it got all brown and stuff, and like, you know, it wasn't like we were letting it go bad. There was constant stirring. Like it was being spooned upon pretzels and nachos and Lord knows what else. But
really just making me hungry is what's happening this morning. I never eat breakfast before I come in, so sometimes I get really hungry sitting here.
I usually get hungry on the way back to downtown, usually right about when I hit Brentwood Boulevard on 40, going back toward downtown. And it puts me into this weird spot where the traffic on 40 is so crappy that I'm tempted to get off either on Brentwood or actually usually on Hampton to grab, there's like a Jack in the Box, there's Taco Bell, there's places to get fast food right there. Plus I can wave at the We Are Live guys as I drive right by the studio there. There are places to get breakfast in those spots, and I always want to get off and get breakfast, and then I realize that it's going to take 20 more minutes to get back on 40 and deal with more of the traffic. And so I just stop myself, and get on home, but yeah, I don't
okay,
know.
Sorry, I was losing focus for a second. I was texting people about the issue.
I have lost my focus on more than one occasion and plenty of times.
So here. Where's Brad?
That's a good question. I think Bradley's at home this morning.
Excuse me.
Living his life. I don't know. We've been in touch. We're gonna we'll figure it out and get things all fixed up here. I do think that tomorrow morning there will probably be a best of on Game Time AM. I know you and I talked about this yesterday briefly, but we will we'll talk about that when we get off here. But I have a couple segments in mind that we'll probably run through. I'm guessing
traveling yagers perhaps.
It's up to, I don't know, we'll do it on there. What the hell, why not? It's a matter of whether or not you want to chop up audio. If not, I was gonna say that probably the first hour would be the first hour we had with Stephen Walden when he was in the studio, yeah. And the second hour would have been the Tom Stillman interview. Would have been the 2 hours that I would have picked out for tomorrow. So that would be a nice easy.
That probably
morning.
Is legitimately best of.
I think that probably is pretty close.
Hey, speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil. Friend of the show Stephen Walden texting in to say that he recommends these slow cooker liner bags, easy cleanup. He says he knows more about cheese than hockey. Here is the issue.
That's awesome.
With the slow cooker. Thank you, Steve. That is a good tip. The slow cooker liner bags, however, in my experience, if they get bunched up around the edges, things tend to heat unevenly. Uh-oh. And you know, maybe sometimes the cheese kind of falls behind the bag a little bit.
Oh, no.
Right, and so it becomes a whole thing.
That's doubled your mess.
Right. It is. They are good in theory, but when they are placed into the hands
of give them a shot.
15, 16-year-old concession stand workers, they tend to work less well.
Well, yeah, you put anything in the hands of 15, 16-year-old concession workers, it's probably not going to be good.
That was, honestly, I will never have a better job than that job. There's no,
some fond memories.
Now, granted, the concession stand part of the job was not that awesome, though. For a couple of summers, here's the thing. I know there were rules about how much food we were supposed to eat. But no one ever followed them. And so basically, everyone who worked there just sat in that concession stand and just ate food all day long. Wow. Candy bars and all sorts of ice cream and stuff. There was
nachos
once
all day.
Oh my, we used to make, so we had the crock pot of taco meat and we would just make taco burgers. We would just get buns out and pile the meat on the bun, piece of American cheese, and go to town on the taco burger.
Nice.
Lots of plastic trays full of croutons dipped in ranch. Very healthy snack.
That's interesting.
Very healthy snack to get you through your day. There was one summer where they attempted to bulk order ice cream, and they were having a scoop ice cream cones. And that was a great summer because, you know,
what did they usually do?
Well, usually it was like they would get the wrap stuff, right? Like, so like ice cream sandwiches or like bomb pops and that kind of stuff.
Like did you have the little cups of ice cream?
Every once in a while,
spoonfuls of ice cream.
Yeah, so we didn't have those that often, but occasionally, yes, we had those. And there were Snickers ice cream bars too, and Choco Tacos were a big thing. Like
I've never had a chocolate taco.
Oh, they're good. The Choco Tacos are super tasty. But the summer of the ice cream scoops was pretty wonderful because there was a lot of ice cream just being eaten. And then, you know, when you end up in the nice manager's role, they give you all the keys. All the keys are fun. Everyone always likes to have all the keys, right? Yeah.
Get a real sense of importance.
You
when
really
you've got
do.
All the keys.
And there was no sitting in the hot concession stand anymore. I could wander around and sit by the pool and
they
talk
gave you
to
freedom?
The lifeguards. As the assistant manager, I had the run of the place. And
oh man,
let me tell you, living large, counting down the cash drawer at night to find out that a business that has been having seven people work at it all day long at least minimum wage or higher made like $86 in a day.
hey,
but you know what? Hey, it was a pool. There were membership fees. They were probably fine. They were probably actually losing
tons
of money.
If they were using the food to make a profit,
right?
Then
they were definitely in trouble. This has so far been Game Time AM on 590 The Fan. We thank 1057HG2 and InsideSTL.com. We're streaming. We're on the air. There's podcasts. There's all sorts of stuff flying around in here. Text from the 618 says, you must have been a Dorchester employee. I spent 5 years of my youth lifeguarding and then managing. Would love to know who the 618 texter is because there's no way that I don't know them because they are correct that is indeed.
Well, they know who you are and they would know if they knew you, wouldn't they?
I suppose that's true. I'm going back through the text here and I don't.
Jeff Jones is his name.
That is my name. I'm going through the text here. Do not have this person. I have anything that would indicate how frequently this person texted or where they were from. But
is that the place though?
That is the place.
Okay, cool.
So there's no chance that I don't know this person / didn't work with this person. So that's
it. Really, just depends on when this person's youth was.
I guess
that
that's true because as I think about it, my youth
could
is
be
long
different
ago.
Than someone else's.
I haven't worked there in 10 years. As I think about it, so that's that's all of a sudden. That's making me feel old.
I was gonna say,
in a
did
hurry.
You just get hit all of a sudden?
I'll
with
tell
how,
you what,
how much time's gone by?
I am less than 30 days out of the 30th birthday at this point, and it's the count. It's the final countdown, Matthew. I'm ticking the days off the calendar for sure.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Turning 30 really affected me, like mentally.
Really?
It did.
In
it
what
bothered
way?
Me. Just I don't know. It just bothered me. I was 30. I did never think I'd be 30. You know, when you're 20 years old, you're like 30 so far away. And then it just kind of happened all of a sudden. I was like, oh, wow.
You know, the thing about 30 that so far as I approach it has been weird to me. And by the way, the texter just texted in. He is in fact a little older than me, but I do know the name. And his mother was my junior high English teacher.
Oh, score.
Yeah, how about
cool.
that?
Tiny,
but,
tiny world.
Yes, indeed. Very tiny world. But as I get closer to 30, what I remember actually, I have a recollection of my dad's 40th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And like he was old. He was 40.
Right.
But then not so much, right? That's 10 years out for
you know,
me.
I think that's what really affected me is because I have the most vaguest of memories of my dad turning 30.
Right.
So I remember that. I more clearly remember my dad turning 40.
Okay.
So it's like, oh my gosh, I was a kid. I remember my dad turning 30, and now here's my kids. I'm turning 30. I'm going to be 55 here all of a sudden in a couple weeks.
Well, and see, the other part of it is that, yeah, my dad was 31 when I was born, right?
Okay.
And had been married for 5 years at that point. So I'm doing math backward and I'm comparing my calendar to his calendar and going, I'm a little behind the curve here little bit, you know.
Time just keeps moving fast.
Time does move fast, man. It is time keeps on slipping as
into the future.
Say. Yes indeed.
Cool.
I don't know. It's weirding me out. But as we're talking about countdowns, by the way, June 18th is going to be a big day in the NHL. That is the day at which The Vegas Golden Knights will receive their will receive the lists of of players that are available to them. That is the day that they will open their exclusive negotiating window with NHL free agents. 72 hours for both. The list will be posted, I believe it was, they said yesterday, 10 a.m. Eastern on June 18th. We will get the list of protected players. So,
and then does it, is it 72 hours from that point, or does that window open a little bit later?
It's 72 hours from when they get the list, and then they announce it that evening. So probably we'll see, I don't know, it depends on how well the NHL controls the process.
The evening of the 72nd hour?
Yes, we will see leaks throughout the day as agents get notified and players get notified. Yeah, so I do think we will see a decent
amount. Who's leaving the Blues? Who are they taking?
Oh.
Or is there going to be some bigger thing in the works?
You know, so my policy has been throughout the course of this year to believe Jeremy Rutherford when he says that he has feelings about things. Like, I feel like JR is connected enough to the team and has
he's
a good enough
pipeline. You can trust.
He is a guy, yes, whose instincts you should pay attention to. When JR writes in a chat or in a column or in a tweet that he thinks something or that his gut is telling him something, my interpretation of that is that that has been intimated to him, but he can't really necessarily always make it public.
So it's like a super hint.
Yes. And
played off as a, this is what I think.
And he has been recently pretty strong in his belief that the Blues are going to protect Ryan Reeves in the expansion draft, which I know you don't like, and I understand why it's not liked. I really do get why people aren't happy with that decision.
There's a few different reasons I don't like that.
Yeah, but if that is the case, then I think we maybe lose David Perron would be my guess, because Reeves would be in that seventh spot.
I think I would take that trade-off, except for the fact that then who's going to make up those minutes?
Well, that is a good question. There will be NHL free agents.
Zach Sanford, oh yeah.
You know, Sanford's going to get a shot. Barbashev is going to get a shot. Justin Williams is a name that was mentioned as in terms of being a free agent that you saw that's
going to cost a pretty penny, though, isn't he? He's going to be at least around $5 million, right?
Possibly. He's 35, 36. You're looking at probably a 1 or 2 year deal at probably between 4 and 5. That's very possible. But he's going to be probably available.
My worry about him is that he's been with Washington for a while now. He's kind of
just the 2 years.
Is it just 2 years?
I believe so. Yeah. I'll pull him up right now. I'm going to look.
I'll withdraw.
No. Yeah. He is an older guy, and he's not a top level scorer necessarily. Right.
That's basically what I'm worried about. Is if he goes to another team, say he comes to St. Louis, well, maybe the Magic's lost because he's after all a 35, 36 year old. And he doesn't have the benefit of playing with the guys he played with in Washington in that system.
Yeah, he had 24 goals and 24 assists this year for the Capitals. I mean,
at that age, you can fall off pretty quick.
You can, and when the legs go, there's pretty much nothing that can be done about it. And the 48 points this season were among his best seasons in the NHL. Now, granted, as a younger man with Carolina, he did put up piles of points. He had a 76-point season and a 67-point season, but he's been pretty reliably a 40 to 50-point guy. So if he can maintain that and the Blues can pay him $4.5 million for a couple of years, and again, he can maintain it, that's great. Yeah. You're not adding a lot of team speed when you add a Justin Williams. You're adding a savvy veteran type, I guess. You're adding a guy who's older than one of your assistant coaches. That'd be fun. Steve Ott is 34. Justin Williams is 35.
Did we ever get around to discussing Steve Ott joining the coaching staff?
I don't know. That might have happened over a weekend, I guess. We might have
kind of glossed over it.
We should. So I guess we should probably mention indeed that Steve Ott is an assistant coach of the St. Louis Blues, taking Ray Bennett's spot as the eye in the sky above games, which is unfortunate because it means no chirps from the bench.
I think it kind of makes sense for him to be on the bench, wouldn't you?
I would think it would also.
His temperament, just rubbing off on players during the game would probably be a good thing. You can't really do that from up in the sky, as you say.
No. It's given the position that he is filling. So Ray Bennett has been here for a long time. For 10 years. And especially over the last year, I don't know, I got the impression over the last year or so that he was not super involved in a lot of the day-to-day coaching operations type stuff that was going on. But I guess I don't know. I think the idea with Ott is that you want him to be around the team you want to get that locker room presence, but you don't want him to play for you because he's not that good at playing hockey so much anymore.
Maybe kind of give him a little bit of a bumper zone to work his way from lineup to roster.
Staff. And you're creating basically a mascot at this point, right? That's gonna be, or maybe mascot is the wrong word, but some sort of totem.
Right. He's a firecracker.
Yeah, basically he's the guy that you want to have around who will get guys going and be a voice that you want to hear in the room. And so
I hear he's really smart though. So that it's is not also, just a gimmicky kind of deal.
Yeah, I've not ever met or spoken to Steve Ott, so I have no idea. I mean, I've obviously heard him give interviews and he was very engaged with the media while I was here. I know, media guys in general are thrilled to have Steve Ott back in town, I think, for sure. So it is, I think, a reasonable question what kind of impact he's going to have. I don't think he's going to be heavily involved in a lot of the strategic stuff. I think as a recently played player, he's going to see the game pretty well because he's been down on the ice for so long.
Right.
That probably from that perspective, he sees the game very well. So I do think it creates maybe some strategic opportunities that did not exist previously, but it is a matter of, of balancing that with the kind of experience that you would usually want out of an assistant coach.
Right. So there was at least a handful of, Twitter people that were not happy with the move and questioned it.
Right.
I don't really think there's anything to question, really. It's not like he was made the head coach or, a vital, vital piece of the coaching staff.
It's really hard for me to get fired up about an assistant coach.
Right.
Right. There have been obviously some management decisions or whatever in the past that did not work out that were based on former players. For example, people forget this, but once upon a time, Brett Hull was the general manager of the Dallas Stars.
Yes.
And that lasted for all like 3 months.
Real.
Because, look, Brett is a legendary player and a nice guy, and I'm sure he's a force in the sales arena out on the golf course. I don't know that he is the guy that you want managing your cap situation.
He was co-general
manager,
right?
Yes.
Now, who was his co-GM?
Les Jackson was the co-GM. He's, I think, more of a businessy, front office-y kind of guy, right? So, I think probably Jackson handled the business end of that situation, and Brett Hull was more on
Brett Hull was the figure face.
And stuff. Right, yeah, the figure
hey, guys,
and stuff.
We've got
out
Brett
in.
Hull.
I don't know, is that the face you want? Is that the pretty face necessarily? I don't know all that.
I don't know. He was still kind of pretty back then, wasn't he?
I am of the impression. I don't know. I'm of the impression that Brett Hull was attractive because he played hockey really well. I don't think he's because
he was good. He scored lots of goals.
I don't think he's a great looking guy necessarily. I don't know. I mean,
I've honestly never thought about it.
Never thought about it.
I've never really considered. Is he good looking?
You
or
should
no?
even you should then you should take time to marry it, whether or not Brett Hull is.
I will.
Is good
I'll
looking.
Get back to you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
no. It, I won't.
Well, no, you can. That's all right. I want you to hop on
I will
tomorrow.
Text you later.
That's awesome. But no, I want you to hop on the air tomorrow morning before you start playing the audio and say, hey, by the way, I thought about it, and Brett Hull is or is not a great looking guy. That would. What a great start to the show that would be tomorrow morning on Game Time AM, hopefully on 590 The Fan, definitely 157 HG2 and streaming live on InsideSTL.com. Podcast will be up of this magnificent first hour here.
Are you sure you want to podcast
it? Oh, I'm positive. Okay. Because imagine somewhere out there is a young Game Time fan who has a crock pot, like was given a crock pot as a birthday present or like out of his graduation gift and doesn't really know how to use it. And they're going to need all of the crockpot tips that they got in this
first hour. Luck. They're in luck. I wish we would have spent more time talking about cheese.
We have,
be honest with you.
Hey, we got 5 minutes to a break. What do you got in the cheese department?
I love cheese.
You do love cheese?
Stephen Walden apparently loves cheese.
Stephen Walden
to the text he texted in.
Are you, when you say you love cheese, are you like a eat a Kraft single out of the fridge one at a time kind of guy?
No. Kraft singles. That's not cheese.
Okay, so you're like a fancy cheese kind of guy. I'm asking because I mean, what's the right way? I don't think that I don't think that you probably shop at Whole Foods a lot, right? Like, I think that maybe you don't. Right, that doesn't seem like your vibe is what I'm saying, right?
You know, actually, I shop at a place that's called Fresh Time.
I love Fresh Time.
Fresh Time is where I shop most of my stuff.
Fresh Time is wonderful. Beautiful. Fresh Time is fresh.
Which one do you go to?
So there's one in O'Fallon, or in Fairview Heights, Illinois that I've been to.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, so I assume there's one in Fenton-ish?
I go to the one in Baldwin.
In Baldwin, okay.
Yeah, and there's also one, I think it's in Kirkwood now.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, that's an amazing store.
It is a fantastic... It is a really good grocery store. Yeah.
You'd think I would be healthier looking based off of eating food from Fresh Time, but still don't look healthy.
You know what? You can only do so much. I have put in a solid effort, I think, on myself over the past couple months, especially, and I don't know. I can only do so much. At some point, I think genetics are just going to be kicking my ass from here to there, and. You work on it, you do the smart things, but yeah, not that easy all the time.
See, I try to rewire my brain to fix myself.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Well,
I've heard that it can work if you can master the mental process, and I have not done it.
And you know, when I was a kid, I watched my folks do the Atkins thing, and I watched them drop tons of weight in a big hurry and then put all of it immediately back on.
Right.
So I guess
bad.
It is really bad for you. Yes. So, but that was the reason why, as a child, there were lots of giant containers of pork rinds in my house because those are carb free. Lots of Jell-O
Never
with
had
cottage
any pork
cheese.
Rinds either.
That was a big one as well. Friend of the show, Stephen Walden, texting back in says, "Since we are on cheese, let's hear the arguments for or against Prevel. The argument for is that it is tasty."
That it is delicious.
You put it on a pizza and it browns and it gets nice and good. Or you put it in a salad. You put it in a nice Emo's House salad.
Literally
and
anything.
It is wonderful. Yeah.
Literally anything. The worst part about Prevel is it sticks to your teeth. Or well, it sticks to my teeth.
Interesting. Yeah. I you know what? I guess it does. As I'm thinking about that, I can picture an Emo's salad or two with some cheese.
Now you know why Prevel was made. Why they said, hey, we need to make this new cheese.
It was the melting point, right?
They wanted to make
a cheese that melted better for the pizza.
Yeah, they didn't want like mozzarella gets stringy. You try to bite it, and it's hard to bite off sometimes.
Right.
They made a cheese that you can bite off easily.
I saw some national publication yesterday had a list of best pizzas in America or whatever, and Emo's made the list.
That's awesome.
You know what? I'm an Emo's enthusiast. I think it's better than other St. Louis style pizzas. Even I've heard people say, no, if you don't, there's better than Emo's. No, there's not. An Emo's pizza, a solid.
How many
Emo's
different
pizza
St. Louis style pizza places are there?
Well,
I know Emo's two, like Cecil Whitaker's,
Fortell's would be another one. That's okay.
I haven't had that in like 15 years.
Yeah, I haven't been there a long time. There are a couple, though. I think that there probably are also like some bars and smaller restaurants that make their own sort of St. Louis style pizza, right?
I've been going to Walmart lately for a specific pizza.
Really?
Yes.
What do you
got? I love it. It's
like the Walmart Lucia's. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mama Lucia's is good.
Delicious. It doesn't say they use Prevel, but it's basically Prevel.
Yes.
And it is amazing. It's not on level with Emo's, but it's pretty good for the price. So,
you know, I have been keeping in my house recently, and you know, right after I tell the story about how I've been trying to eat better and take care of myself, I will tell this story. I love me a Totino's party pizza.
No.
I know it's not great. I know it's obviously awful for me, but the move with the party pizza is to cook it to very crispy, like to nearly burned, and then you fold it in half like a calzone.
Right.
And then you just go to town.
You could do that with any pizza, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, but like a party pizza is small enough that I don't feel like a horribly disgusting ogre when I fold it in half and eat it with my hands.
See, I don't mind if I feel like a horribly disgusting ogre.
Well, that's fair.
So I'll just buy a Mama Lucia's. I'll fold that and have it's a giant, giant calzone. I don't really do that, but it's good pizza anyway.
But you could do it.
My favorite. I'll put it on
the Prevel. Look, the Prevel cheese is the way to go. I, you know, and the reason that I mentioned the Whole Foods earlier is that when I lived in Chicago, my apartment was literally across the street from a Whole Foods, and boy, if you want to waste lots and lots and lots of money, live across the street from a Whole Foods, because you'll go across the street intending to get like two things for dinner and pick up something small for lunch, and then you check out and it's $65 and you're going, what the hell did I do with the entirety of my life, right? Because on $65 I could probably go to Aldi and buy food for a month and feed myself, but it was like a day.
You said it properly. Aldi.
Yeah, it's not possessive.
Mm-hmm.
People do that all the time.
I called it Aldi's for years just because that's what my parents called it growing up.
You know what, though? I think that's a St. Louis thing. I think adding the possessive to stuff is a St. Louis thing as well.
I wouldn't know, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But in any event, I would frequently visit the cheese counter at the Whole Foods. There was lots of remarkable cheese. I like a nice.
I love any place that has a good cheese counter.
A nice flaky aged Gouda, where you break off just little bitty pieces of it. But they're deep and rich and nutty, and they feel so good on the tongue. I do love a nice aged cheese. I'm gonna let that one breathe here for a minute. Cheese is wonderful. We are coming up to the end of the first hour here on Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com. Come back after the break. We actually have a lot of, I don't know, I'm going to call them sports. You might disagree with me. A lot of stuff that might appear on old ESPN 8, The Ocho. Big day. Spoiler alert, today, first streaming day of the Scripps National Spelling Bee for this year. So we are going to break down the spelling bee when we come back after the break. Come back with us, podcast the first hour, and we will, you'll hear us on the other side of the break.